To mark this year's First World War centenary, Suzy Radio now presents A Village at War, the story in 8 episodes of Newdigate in Surrey during the conflict, written by John Colcutt. Episode 1.
The dark clouds of war had been rolling over Europe throughout the brilliant summer of 1914. The Archduke Franz Ferdinand, heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne, and his wife, the Duchess of Hohenberg, were murdered at Sarajevo on June 28. Further trouble in the Balkans may have caused consternation at the Foreign Office, but the man in the street had grown used to hearing of problems in that far-off land. The crisis that the murder provoked began on 23rd July, when Austria, assured of support from Berlin, sent a demand to Serbia, containing a number of requests, partly to gain compensation for the murder, and to ensure that no further outrages could take place. A reply was requested in 48 hours, and after Serbia took counsel with Russia, all the Austrian demands were conceded, with the exception of 2 which would infringe the sovereignty of the country and her constitution. At 10 o'clock on the evening of Saturday 25th, the Austrian minister in Belgrade stated that the Serbian reply was unacceptable, and 3 days later a formal declaration of war was issued. The last public holiday of the year was approaching, and for the wealthy a fortnight or a month at the seaside was uppermost in their minds. A day's treat in the countryside or by the sea was in store for the poorer. Besides, storm clouds had gathered before and been dispersed. So Britain went on with her pleasure-making, although as the last week of July wore on, it had become evident that more than a local war was possible.
A grand bazaar and fete, in aid of the St. Peter's Church Restoration Fund and providing new heating apparatus for the church, was held at Ockley Lodge. The morning of the 22nd broke cloudless, and our spirits rose at the hope of a glorious day for the long-talked-of bazaar. Overnight, the large marquee and several of the smaller sideshow tents had been erected, and when we arrived at 10 a.m, things seemed in great swing. In the marquee, 8 of the daintiest-looking stalls had been put up by various helpers. These were prettily draped with green gauze and festoons of that most lovely rambler, Dorothy Perkins, hung from the top and down the sides. Whilst the stallholders were thus busily engaged decorating their stalls on the lawn in front of the house, those in charge of the tea and refreshments were laying little tables for tea and cutting up delicious bread and butter and preparing plates of the most lovely bits of cake. Alas! When at length at 2:30 Lady Goodrich arrived, she was accompanied by Rain. The rector said it was a great honour and pleasure for them to have Lady Goodrich to open the bazaar, and she replied by declaring the bazaar open. She went on to say it was a great pleasure to come to Newdigate. She admired Newdigate and thought it such a sporting little village. She made special mention of the Choral Society and the unexpected way in which Newdigate had distinguished itself. Captain Gibbs seconded the vote of thanks to Lady Goodrich. Mrs. Innes' 2 charming little girls then presented a bouquet to Lady Goodrich, and at once business began. Tea on the lawn was impossible, but in the various rooms of Ockley Lodge, delicious teas were served by charming-looking waitresses in muslin caps and aprons. Rain ceased about 4:30, and gradually more and more people began to arrive. During all this time, various sideshows were in full swing. A splendid representation from some scenes in Alice Through the Looking Glass was given by some members of the Band of Hope under the direction of Mrs. Elliot. A delightful Japanese dance and song was arranged by Mrs. Winfield. Later in the evening, the illuminations were lit from 8:30 till 10:30, and great revelling took place. There was a dancing green where stately waltzes, two steps and lancers were enjoyed, and for the more frivolous, the ceaseless joy, the merry-go-round. It is extraordinary what a joy it is to sit on a horse and go round and round and up and down to the accompaniment of jingling music.
Holy Baptism, the 26th of July, 1914. Marjorie Kate, the daughter of George Frederick and Margaret Louisa Trow.
Following Austria's declaration of war on Serbia, Russia backed Serbia and Germany backed Austria. A sequence of declarations followed and diplomatic threats became real war as the large conscripted armies were mobilised. For Germany to attack Russia, she also had swiftly to attack France, who had an alliance with Russia. This involved a huge army movement through Belgium to Paris. Belgium's neutrality was guaranteed by France's ally, Britain. By the middle of the last week of July, excitement began to give place to anxiety.
Friday, July the 31st, bank rate raised from 4% to 8%. Saturday, August the 1st, bank rate raised to 10%. Sunday, August the 2nd. Intense excitement. Weekly papers appear on Sunday. Belgium refuses to allow German troops free passage through her territory. Over the weekend, the British fleet prepared to go to sea and the British regular army was mobilised. Khaki and blue-clad soldiers and sailors could be seen mingling with the brightly dressed holidaymakers on that hot afternoon. Monday, August the 3rd. German advance guard approaches Liège. Tuesday, August the 4th. Germany declares war on Belgium and attacks Liège.
Following this insurgence, Britain issued an ultimatum to Germany to withdraw her troops. It expired at midnight on August 4th, 11 p.m. British time, and Great Britain declared war on Germany. The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime. Thus were the prophetic words uttered by the Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey.
Cricket results. August the 1st, Newdigate versus Bear Green at Bear Green, lost by 70 runs. August the 3rd, Newdigate versus Broomhall at Newdigate, won by an innings and 97 runs.
Holy Baptism, August the 2nd. Magdalene Caroline, daughter of Walter and Mary Beadle.
Lord Kitchener appeals for 500,000 recruits. Your king and country need you. A call to arms.
Monday, August the 17th. The British Expeditionary Force arrives in France. Sunday, August the 23rd. Fighting began around Loos. Britain loses 16,000 men in the first full-scale engagement.
The Rectory, 26th of August, 1914. My dear friends, never in our time has England been called upon to face such a terrible trial as she has at the moment. As we fortunately live on an island, it is difficult for us to realise the magnitude of the war which is now raging in Europe. The loss already has been very great, and what will be the total loss when the war is ended, no one can venture a guess. Some of you think that it will be over soon. I hope you may be right, but such is not the opinion of experts. Germany will not easily give in. She has so much at stake. Neither must England, for we are fighting for a just cause and not for gain. Poor little Belgium has been most brave, and how sad for her to have lost so very many men and to see her towns and villages destroyed. Those of us who have visited Belgium will realise this more, and if we are spared to see it again, how different it will appear. The question for each of us to ask himself is, what am I doing and what can I do to help my country? How different England is from other nations. How different her position would be now if she had listened to the sound words of Lord Roberts years ago and so frequently repeated that every young man, whatever his position or rank may be, should be trained so as to be able to take an active and intelligent part in the defence of the country. The business of warfare has to be learnt, If the Germans consider it necessary for every man to spend 3 years in learning it, we cannot expect to make ourselves efficient in a few weeks. May God guide us all to do what is right and best. There are various ways in which we can help. The young men should enlist in the regular army or join Lord Kitchener's force. One could have wished that all the young men in the parish had regarded it as their duty and privilege to offer themselves in this time of great trouble. We shall undoubtedly be obliged to send some more men to the front before the war is over, and if not voluntarily, I suppose the government will be forced to take other steps. Those over 30 and from 16 to 18 should join our rifle club. The entrance fee has been reduced from half a crown to a shilling, and so do their best to make themselves efficient in the defence of their country should such an emergency arise. We can trust our navy, but that Germany will endeavour to land some troops in England at some time or other is quite evident. Ostend, where some of her troops are at the moment, is not far from England. As Germany has made use of Belgium, so she will not scruple if she considers it will advance her cause to make the use of Holland for her navy. We must hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. My word to the men is to train themselves, to become efficient. Be sober, be vigilant, fear God, honour the King. We must look well after the families of those who have gone or preparing to go to the front from this parish. The number is small at present, but it may become much larger by and by. At any rate, let us be determined to do our very best for the families of those gone from us. A committee is being formed for doing this and will commence work as soon as possible. All funds should be sent to the General Committee, the members of which will see that they are administered with the greatest care and efficiency. Mrs. Jansen has enrolled a number, and if they prepare themselves thoroughly for any emergency, it will be a most helpful thing. Preparing means the practice of much self-denial.
The following advice comes from the local paper. The first and most imperative duty of every man and woman in the country today is to keep still. It is only by placing implicit confidence in the government and the leaders at the front that we can maintain that spirit of calmness which is so important at the time of national crisis.
A very largely attended parish meeting was held on Monday the 24th of August with Mr. Henry Hackwood in the chair. The chairman stated that it was desired to form an emergency committee to take measures for recruiting and for the prevention and relief of distress during the war. The enthusiastic meeting closed with a hearty vote of thanks to the chairman, cheers for the King, and the singing of the national anthem.
You've been listening to A Village at War by John Colcutt. You heard the voices of Tina Colcutt as the commentator, Steph Bassett as the war correspondent, Lynn Voronetsky as the home correspondent, and David King as the rector. The programme was directed by John Colcutt and produced in Horsham by Tim Hartnell and David King. Join us tomorrow just after 7 p.m. for the next episode. This was a Suzy Radio production.